We're not, again, as we pointed out last week, we're not going to skip any mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs of the Torah are relevant to us, even if perhaps they seemingly don't speak to us at first glance. And if anybody has glanced yet and looked at this week's parsha, we know that there is one major theme, and that is the clothing of the Kohen Gadol in Parshas Tetzaveh. Parshas Tetzaveh really begins like a fashion show, talking about the lengths and the colors and the gold and the purples and the blues, all the different colors and the different styles the Kohen Gadol would wear, whether he wears the regular four garments that a regular Kohen wears, which is the pants and the long tunic and the hat that he wears along with the belt. Those are the regular four. And then the Kohen Gadol wears on top of that a long colored tunic that goes over that as well. And then there's the ephod, which is an apron, and then along with the choshen, which contains all the 12 stones representing the shvatim, and the tzitz and the gold plate that goes across the top. He certainly dresses and looks in a regal way. It is a mitzvah to make those clothing for the Kohen Gadol and for the Kohen Gadol to wear those specific 8 garments. What does the pasuk say? V'asisa bigdei kodesh le'aron achicha. You should make the holy clothing for Aaron, your brother. Then 2 famous words, l'chavod u'l'sifares. The clothing should be for kavod and tiferes. They should be for honor. Tiferes is sometimes a hard word to translate. It's hard to know exactly what it means. Either it means a balance, it means something that's glory, something. It's certainly a positive word. So the expression of l'chavod u'l'sifares is associated with the big day kahuna. It means something that perhaps we don't talk about that often, and that is that in Yiddishkeit, in Judaism, we do put a value on external beauty. The Torah says so. We do put a value on something that is outwardly, physically beautiful. It's not something that we ignore and say, oh, it's gashmias, we don't care about nice things. We do care about nice things. We do care about the way things present when it comes to Torah mitzvahs. This idea that the way things as they appear publicly and physically are important, we find in other places. We're coming upon Purim, and Esther is described as being beautiful. Sari Menu is described as being beautiful. We do see that there is something to be said about beauty and aesthetically pleasing things, and there's a role for that. In Avodas Hashem, this is not our main discussion tonight, but in Avodas Hashem, when something is pleasant, and a person has a pleasant home and a pleasant, you know, clothing, and they have a pleasant environment, it expands their mind, it allows them to relax, allows them to connect. There is a place where beauty, kavod, and tiferes all come together, right? Sheker hachein, vehevel hayofi, right? Chein, all this beauty is sheker, but isha yiras Hashem, hisis alal. When it's combined with yiras shemayim, when something beautiful is combined with kedusha, with holiness, with connection to Hashem, then there is a value in that physical beauty. The Ramban in this week's parsha shows how each of the 8 different garments of the Kohen Gadol were found and related to Malchus and kingship, and how the kings and the royalty of that time would wear different things, that the Kohen Gadol was kind of like a melech in some way for the Jewish people. But let's turn to what we try to do every single week, is to discuss Ta'amei Mitzvos. What is the purpose of all this clothing and all this fancy clothing that the Kohen Gadol would wear? So we're going to begin with a comment of the Netziv in the Ha'emek Davar. The Netziv writes that it is a means to an end to show one's sense of cover. Let's see what the Netziv says. He says, Ba'asher nidrash ha'inyan she'aron mikadesh atzmo. The idea is that Aaron sanctifies himself. U'misnaheg b'chassidus u'b'prishus nivdal miklal Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol is obviously a holier, more separate, more dignified Jew. He's on a level. The Kohen Gadol sits on a level above other people. Everybody knows that. You don't have to, it's not gaiva, it's not hubris. It doesn't mean that he thinks he's better than everyone, but it's the Kohen Gadol. He serves in the base of Migdash. Nobody else here goes into Kodesh HaKadoshim once a year. Only he does. He's different. He's better in many aspects. And therefore, he holds himself differently than the rest of the Jewish people. V'ziyev shar ela b'ofen she'nichbad b'einei habrios. And therefore, it's important that people also know sheyedu v'yavinu and understand kihu b'mala el yor mehem. When you see the Kohen Gadol and you see him walking down the street, you should see that he's different than you, right? If the Kohen Gadol, if you walk into the Beis Hamikdash and the Kohen Gadol was wearing like jeans and like a checkered shirt, and he's like doing the avodah, he'd be like, well, I could do that too. Like, what makes him so special? He dresses in a way that befits the job that he has. He's in a very important position, so he wears very important clothing. It's not considered gaiva. The Nitziv says, when the Torah says in this week's Parsha that the clothing are lekavod ulatiferes, it means for his position. The Kohen Gadol has to wear nice clothing because his position is one of kavod and tiferes. It's one of honor and glory, and therefore he needs to dress according to his job. We understand that Hashem wants him, and he is a merkava. Merkava means a chariot. He is a chariot for the Shechina. He represents something special. So he dresses in a way that represents something special. And this goes not just for Aaron, but all Kohanim Gedolim going forward. This idea of the Netziv, explaining why the Kohen has such special clothing, is echoed as well by Rav Elia Meir Blach. Rav Elia Meir Blach was the Rosh Yeshiva in Telz. Telz was a city in Poland. It was annihilated by the Nazis during the Holocaust. Almost nobody from Telz survived. However, the two Rosh Yeshiva happened to be in America at that time, and they could not get back. That is a whole story unto itself, how they survived and what happened with their families and how they restarted and they built from ashes again in Cleveland, Ohio. Telz was rebuilt in Cleveland, Ohio. It became one of the premier yeshivas in America in its day. And the Rosh Yeshiva of Elia Meir Blach writes in his Sefer Pnimei Das that human nature is that we take more seriously those things that are more special, more beautiful. We do. Whether or not you like it, and if you say otherwise, you're probably lying to yourself, we are attracted to things that look nicer. We just are. We feel a connection to it. And to ensure that the Kohanim would constantly recognize the significance of their avodah, it was necessary for them to wear elegant, dignified clothing. And therefore, when instructing Moshe, who would communicate with Aaron and his children, the stress was placed that you're doing something important. L'kavodul tiferes. Aside from providing insight into the importance, so we also see that what's true of Bigdei Kahuna is also regarding the same with the clothing that we wear. We also are Avdei Hashem. Everyone in this room walks around and represents a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. We like to say that we are Hashem's embassy in this world, right? The embassy of another country is in another place, right? We're in America. The embassy of America is in Brazil. So when you walk into the embassy in Brazil for the United States of America, you're America in Brazil. You represent that country there. Every single person in this world is Hashem's embassy in this world. You represent, you walk around representing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the way we dress, both men and both women, projects an image to others, and at the same time, it impacts our self-image, how we view ourselves, the way we conduct, the way we dress. And the more modest and the more dignified we dress, the more respect from others we will engender, and also we will have, in turn, more self-respect. The way I dress matters. And the opposite is true. When you dress schlumpy, you're going to feel schlumpy, and people treat you schlumpy as well. That's the way it's going to be. So, the kavod l'tiferes means it helps us live a life of more kavod and more glory. Why does this work? So let's look at our dear friend, the Sefer Achinach, see what he writes on this mitzvah in this week's parsha. Mitzvah Tzadi Tes in the Sefer Achinach. What's going on here? And this is an idea that I think you all know, and this is one of the many places where he repeats this yisod as well. Mishar Sheha Mitzvah, the foundations of this mitzvah. Hayisoda Kavu Alanu. As you all know, achar hapu'ulos nimshach halavav. So the way a person acts, and the way a person goes about, and the way a person conducts himself will eventually come to impact their heart and their mind, right? It will eventually come around. And v'hashaliach mechaper tzarech lispayes kol machshavosav v'kavanosav l'avoda al kin roi lilbosh begadim yuchadim eilaha. It's appropriate. The shliach of Hashem, the Kohen, should dress accordingly. And he looks all around. He looks on his arms, and he looks on his feet, and he looks on his head, and he looks everywhere. And when he looks at his clothing, he says, well, I'm doing something special. I'm serving the Beis HaMikdash. That the Kohen Gadol should always have a reminder in every single square inch of the clothing on his body that he's doing something important, and he's Hashem's embassy in this world. That's why it says in Maseches Pesachim, "Shenischayvu liyos erech haketones al kol gufo." The ketones, the long tunic, the kohen wear, had to go the entire body al b'malim in ha'ekav hamat until just by the ankle. The erech beisiyad shala ad pasiyado, and it had to go right until the wrist. Umitz nefes. And he also had to see the hat around him. No matter where he looked, he had to see the hat that was on his head. And his belt was 32 amos long. That's very long. An amma is, let's say, a foot and a half. It's like a 60-foot belt. They wrapped around him again and again and again. Umakifo machzu al gufo kedach al krach. Ubenimsu shemargish b'bechol eis. Why? So he could feel it. He could feel this like belt around him all the time, holding himself tight, always being aware. Bizro sub shemito, and it went like all around his the chest, all around his stomach. This belt wrapped all around the whole area. All around his body. Hasaros hanagospo, his arms, when they would rest against his body, they would feel the belt underneath his arms as well. This is all proving what I said. Limuda ala emes, what is true. Milvan sheish be'inyan kavod lebeis v'avoda, there's kavod for the house of Hashem, and the avoda b'yos ha'oved melabesh b'babush miyuchad l'avoda. You're serving Hashem, dress accordingly. If you're doing something important, then dress for the job. Ukvar kasavna, we already said, ki begdalas habayis umoro yisrachu sham levavos hachotzev yeshua Hashem. As we explained last week, you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you're supposed to feel something special. A little boy who puts on a basketball jersey, or he puts on a baseball jersey, and he has his favorite player emblazoned across the back of that jersey, even though he's holding a little tiny basketball, or he's holding a tennis ball, and he's throwing it against the side of the house, for those few minutes where he's dressed like his favorite player and he's holding that ball, he is that player. The dress of putting on the outfit, you become that thing. For a moment in your mind, you're transported to another world. The way you dress matters. If that little kid was not wearing the right outfit, he wouldn't feel it, right? Kid's so excited. He's going to play baseball for the first time. He's so excited for his uniform, and the uniform doesn't come. So now he's standing out there, you know, feeling like whatever, and he doesn't have his uniform. He wants to feel like he's doing something big. He wants to feel special. That's what a uniform does. It makes you feel like you're doing something special. This is something that you've gotten this in halacha as well in class, and we've certainly said in my classes. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Gimel says, to Rav Yochanan, kari lema'aneh, he calls his clothing michabdusai. Rav Yochanan would call his clothing that which gives me kavod. The way you dress is supposed to give a person a sense of kavod. When you walk down the street, when you get dressed in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror, am I dressed in a way that I feel mechubedek? Do I feel dignified? Do I feel that I'm representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm Hashem's embassy in this world? When I walk out of the house, do I look like I'm going to the gym, or do I look like I'm going to something important? The way you dress impacts how people perceive you and also how you perceive yourself. The Kohen Gadol has to dress in a certain way. And if he doesn't dress that way, his avod is pasul. All of the avodah he did is no good. A Kohen has to dress a certain way. And if he doesn't do that, he's acting improperly. The halacha is, for example, a person who doesn't wear shoes can't be the Shliach Tzibor. Can't be the Chazan and Shul. Why? Because you're representing the Tzibor. You're davening before Hashem on behalf of the Kaal. You're not wearing shoes. You look like you're going to the beach. It might be fine to walk around your house, and it might be fine to go to the beach not wearing shoes. But when you're in a place that requires a certain level of kavod, you have to dress for the occasion, because it impacts what you do, and it impacts the people around you. It makes it more serious. We all change our clothing for Shabbos. What's the difference? Shabbos is Shabbos. Well, it's holy whether I wear a white shirt or I don't wear a white shirt. It's holy whether I wear a weekday skirt or not weekday skirt. I wear a weekday sweatshirt versus a Shabbos sweater. What's the difference? The same day. No, of course you know the difference. Because when you dress like a shlump for Shabbos, then Shabbos feels shlumpy, right? When you get dressed up for Shabbos, then Shabbos feels important. It feels nice. The way you dress makes an impact. Chazal learns the whole concept of v'chibadito. Kavod Shabbos is about how you dress. The Vilna Gaon says you have to change every single part of your Shabbos clothing. the shoes, the socks, everything has to be changed for Shabbos. Because the way you dress makes an impact on how you relate to that thing. There's two things. The way we express ourselves comes through our clothing, our lavush, but also we subconsciously become and step into a certain identity based on our clothing. Right? Hopefully, at certain Purim's coming up, people are going to have Purim costumes, right? We could sit here and give 5 different reasons for Purim costumes, but the main reason for Purim costumes is Simchas Purim. When you feel besimcha, you feel silly, it makes you feel joyful, it makes Purim feel happier. That's part of doing it. That's why you dress up, because it's going to express the way that you're going to identify. Let's give a, we'll give a mashal. Shall we? Let's say you came across, you came to an investment of millions of dollars. You got a Yerusha, so you inherited something, and you came across $1 million. Now you want to know what to do with it. You're not going to spend it on cars, you're not going to spend it on, you know, fancy dinners. You want to invest it properly. So someone tells you, you know, this guy, he knows money, you should go invest with this this gentleman. So, guy's office in Manhattan, you get in the car, you drive to a fancy address, Park Avenue, Madison, somewhere, you get to the office building, you go, it's a very tall building, you see the concierge at the front, you say, I'm looking for Mr. and Mr. So-and-so, and you come into the building, and you go up to the elevator, 13th, 14th, 15th floor, you come out of the elevator, and you walk into the office, the guy who's going to be the genius investor, and he's sitting there at the desk, and he's wearing shorts, and he's wearing a t-shirt, and he's walking around in flip-flops. This is the guy who's going to manage your millions of dollars. How comfortable would you feel with this person being in charge of all your money, based on first glance? Probably, you might walk out and say, maybe this isn't for me. Why? Because he doesn't look or act the way of something that's important and serious. It would have, make an impact on you. When a person wears clothing that makes them look deranged and make them look odd, so then most of the time, the person is probably deranged or odd. That's just the truth. When a person walks around dressed like a crazy person, not all the time, but 90% of the time, the person's probably a crazy person because they're not how to put their clothing together properly. When we dress formally, it makes us feel formal and respected, and it adds a certain level of importance. You would never, ever want to go to the doctor, and your doctor should walk in like he just went surfing. You wouldn't want that. And you wouldn't want to go to the doctor and the doctor's wearing sweatpants and a baseball jersey. You'd probably ask to see another doctor. Why? Why? No?
Professional.
It's not professional. And you feel that maybe this doctor is, I don't know, did he actually graduate medical school? I don't know. Did he, you know, what's he been doing this whole time? If you went, you had a court case and something very important was on the line and the judge walked in without wearing judge's robes, you would feel that something is off. What is my court case not important? And I watch Law and Order. I know how the judge dresses. Like, you gotta come important. You have to, you know, come for something important. Why not treating my case as important as the other guy you wore the robes for? It's the same idea. Lavush expresses to the world around us what you're serious about and what you're not serious about, and it expresses to yourself what you're serious about and what you're not serious about. Rav Kook has a piece in his Einaya, which is his work on Maseches Brachos. Listen to what Rav Kook says. Rav Kook says that clothing have a dual purpose. There's two parts to wearing clothing. He says the first is its function. It's utilitarian, right? You wear clothing to cover up. So you shouldn't be around walking naked. If it's cold outside, you wear the right clothing. And the cold, the wind, the rain, all these things. Now, in that regard, your clothing is no different than what that an animal has. What does an animal have? Fur, right? So in that regard, you're just like an animal, right? An animal has fur, you have a sweatshirt. It's the same thing. It's just a utilitarian, useful thing that you have in order to make sure you're protected from the elements, okay? It just happens to be that their sweatshirt comes naturally. That's it. It just happens to be it grows on them, but it's the same thing. The other part of clothing, says Rav Kook, is unique to humans. And that is that it affects our state of mind. It influences how we perceive ourselves, how we perceive other around us, the image we want to project, right? When a person, let's say, you very much wanted to get into some sort of program, some sort of summer plan, and it didn't go plan, your whole summer now comes crashing down, and nothing's working out. So how do you dress the rest of the day while you're eating out of the ice cream container? How do you dress? Shlumpy. Why? Because you feel
sad.
You feel sad. So you dress according to how you feel. You're going to dress according in that way, right? And you feel unhappy. You feel unattractive. You dress unattractive. You dress something that's not flattering. But when you feel comfortable in casual clothing and you feel dignified in formal clothing, the second aspect has an important ethical value. It stresses that you are different than an animal. An animal also has something to put on to make sure he's protected from the elements. Bears also have it, and dogs have it, and cats have it. They all have it. You are just like a bear, a dog, and a cat. They all have the same thing. But you're different than a bear, a dog, and a cat. Because while their clothing is just there to cover up and to protect the elements, it's, what's the big deal? A skirt's a skirt, a shirt's a shirt, a blouse is a blouse, a sweatshirt's a sweatshirt. What's the deal? It's all the same. It's a covering, isn't it? Yes, it is covering. But you're also a human being. And your clothing does more than the fur on a lion. It projects something about how you're feeling. It projects your mindset. It projects what's important to you. And when we cover our heads, we wear modest clothing, we deepen our awareness of Hashem's presence in the world. And we say that we are better than just an animal. So listen to what Rav Kook says. Listen to a beautiful pshat in the Gemara. You all know the basic story. Shaul HaMelech is pursuing David, right? And one night, Shaul camps near a cave, right? And David comes, and he has a bit of a quiet altercation. He does something to Shaul. We'll talk about that in a second. Says Rav Kook, at the end of David's life, the Navi tells us one thing about David HaMelech's last days, and that was he was cold all the time, freezing cold all the time. He couldn't get warm. Why, says the Gemara? Why was he cold? Because he cut the clothing of Shaul HaMelech. When Shaul was still the king, David went into that cave when Shaul was sleeping, and to show Shaul HaMelech that he could have killed him, but he didn't, he cut the clothing of the Mashiach Hashem. He cut the clothing of the anointed king of Israel. And that, says Hashem, was a chutzpah. You touch the... I don't care if you like Shaul. I don't care if he wants to kill you or not. But you go and you cut the clothing of the Melech Yisrael, says Hashem to David, that was way beyond what was acceptable. Because clothing of the king is something not just the fur of a lion. The clothing of a king represents Malchus, represents something greater. And therefore, the punishment of David was what? That he would be cold, and no amount of clothing would keep him warm for the rest of his life. Says Rav Kook, the two aspects of clothing, one aspect that it just covers you up and keeps you warm and protects you with the elements, and the other aspects of clothing that what? It represents that you are something special, so they're interrelated. If you fail to appreciate what clothing means as a dignified Bas Yisrael and Ben Melech, and you fail to realize what clothing is supposed to do, and you fail to realize that clothing is special, and you think that clothing is just something that puts us on the same level as an animal, then you've missed the whole purpose of what it means to be a human being who dresses. And therefore, says Hashem to David HaMelech, you defamed the higher level of clothing, so therefore for the rest of your life, clothing will not even serve the bare minimum for you. Because you defamed the highest level of what clothing is supposed to be, to represent that you are Hashem's embassy in this world, so the rest of your life, you will not even have the lowest common denominator of clothing, that it keeps you warm. And that was the Mida Keneged Mida, says Rav Kook, of what David did to Shaul. Amazing insight from Rav Kook. We'll just make two other comments here. The first is, there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal a number of years ago, and I'll just read from the piece over here. It says that male Supreme Court litigators are required to wear a coat and tie when they attend oral arguments, and female lawyers must be dressed in comparable attire. If you go to the website of the Supreme Court, they will give you online visitor's guide of how you dress when you come to the highest court in the land. Suit, dress, dress slacks, or matching jacket. Hats and furs are not permitted, regardless of gender. So what happened? There was a court in Columbia, Pennsylvania, and they weren't so strict. He just put up a sign that said, no pajamas. People were coming to court in Columbia, Pennsylvania, in pajamas to see their court cases. And he said, the officer said, we had a growing problem of people not dressing appropriately for court. I just put it out there as a reminder of the code of conduct that should be followed when appearing in court. Just like if you're going to church, you should dress appropriately. We think that if you're going to court, you should dress the same way as well. And the sign went up, and there were people pro and against, whatever it is. It's not a law, he said. It's just a reminder that you're coming to an important place. If you're going to something important, you dress accordingly. When you go into the world and you represent a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you dress accordingly in what that's supposed to be. Now, let's go to the other extreme. I don't want to walk away from this evening and think that we're obsessed with clothing, and clothing is the most important thing, and it's all about dressing nicely and making sure everything is perfect, and everything has to be exactly the so we have to have this in this store from this and this brand. That's not what we're saying. So let's just go to the other extreme for a moment. The Munkacher Rebbe, in his Divrei Torah and Chelek Beis, so he explains the statement of Yochanan that his clothing are Michabdusai as follows. Listen to this twist. So he tells the story of Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha of Anapoli was one of the great Hasidic rabbis. You want to talk about him?
Yeah,
right. Okay. So Rav Zusha of Anapoli was the Talmud of the Maggid of Mezrich, and he was once seated as a guest of honor in his hometown of Ostro. And he was sitting with the wealthy people. And Rav Zusha's days as a pauper were long gone, and he no longer was poor. And he was a well-respected person in the city of Ostro. And those who came to see him hardly remembered when he was poor, walking around the streets, looking for something to eat, not able to find enough clothing for himself, a place to put his head. But he did not forget this. And he always consciously made sure that his fame and his popularity did not override remembering where he had come from now that he was a well-known Rebbe. All the most important townspeople were invited to a feast in his honor. And they sat around the table, enjoying all the food that the host had prepared, a gvir. I'm sure there was meat platters and charcuterie boards and all types of nice things. And Rav Zusha sat at the head of the table in silence. And his eyes were kind of looking off into the distance, kind of half paying attention, not paying attention a little bit to what was going on in the conversation. And without warning, Rav Zusha picked up the bowl of soup that was in front of him, and he threw it on his silk bekasha. He poured it like this, just like this, on his bekasha. So obviously, everybody stopped, and they looked around. And he starts to look at his bekasha, and he says, "Bekasha, eat! Eat the soup! Eat up! Why are you eating the soup? This is for you. The whole event here is for you. Bekasha, eat the soup. This is for your honor. The soup was prepared for you. All the food was prepared for you. Eat." So everyone looks around. Obviously, the Rebbe is going crazy. Nothing makes sense anymore. He's talking to his Bekasha. Nobody knows what to say. So Rav Zusha looks around the table, and he looks at his guests and his hosts, and he looks at their strange look of bewilderment, and he smiles and he says, "I was sitting here and I was remembering, many years ago when I was a young man in Ostro and I lived here, I was poor with nothing to eat. And I walked through the streets from place to place and no one gave me any food and no one gave me a place to sleep and I had no place to put my tired, weary body. But times have changed. Now I'm sitting at a big feast in my honor, a big bekavadik suda. People are praising me. People are here, and we're sitting together, and there's hot soup, and there's meat, and there's wine, and there's schnapps, and all types of nice things. So what changed? I lived in Ostro. Now I lived in Ostro. Then I didn't become a successful businessman. I don't give a lot of tzedakah. So what changed? Why do I deserve all this kavod?" So he said, "No, what changed? The only difference is I have a silk bekasha now. Before, I didn't have a silk bekasha. Now I have a very fancy, beautiful silk bekasha. And when I came to Ostro dressed like a pauper, dressed like a poor person, nobody wanted to talk to me. But now that I have very nice clothing, and I look very, very frum, and I look like a Rebbe, it must be that the Bekesha is what makes me chashev. So the Suda here is not in honor of me, it must be in honor of the Bekesha. So I wanted the Bekesha to eat. The credit goes to the Bekesha. The Bekesha should eat up the soup, should eat up the chalent." What was the point? Says the Munkacher Rebbe, of Yochanan said, "My clothing is mechabdusai. Let me not forget that any kavod that I receive is only because of the external appearance of my clothing. If they're only honoring me because I dress very nicely and I dress very fancy clothing and I look very put together, and everything they care about is only going to be the way that my clothing is and it has a certain brand name and a certain tag on it, and that's the only thing they're looking at, well then, that's not me. That's Mechabdusai, they're honoring my clothing. What's unimportant is an obsession with externalities. What's unimportant is that we understand that clothing doesn't make us into a good Jew or a very religious person. That's not the most important thing. Like we said at the beginning, Sheker Hachein, Behevel Hayofi. All of the beauty and the nice clothing we wear is Sheker. It only matters what? Isha Yiras Hashem, Hisa Salal. When it's combined with Yiras Hashem, and the external clothing of the Kohen Gadol is there to bring out what's inside, and it enhances our Yiras Shemayim, and it allows us to become better Jews, then the clothing of the Kohen Gadol is meaningful. But if it's just externals, and you're simply throwing soup to feed the Bekesha, well then, what have we accomplished here at all? If all a person has is externalities of dress, then we have a serious issue. And this, I think, just to bring it all together, is the role of clothing. Is clothing important the way we dress important? Yes. When we guest dress in the morning, we have to make sure, are we walking around in a way that says, I am Hashem's embassy in this world, I represent Hashem, and I'm going to dress in a way that's going to bring out my sense of kavod, the way I talk, the way I speak with other people, the way I think, the way I walk, the way I eat. Is my clothing going to bring that out into the forefront in a positive way? And is it going to allow me to represent what are the important values of what I think are important? But at the same time, not going, to the other extreme as well and being obsessed with clothing and thinking all that matters is the name brand, all that matters is what's in style, all that matters is what people are going to think about how I'm dressed and am I keeping up with everybody else. This is not an easy balance that we have, certainly in this time and age and this community that we live in. These are struggles that people have to deal with at different times in their lives to make sure we have the right balance. But at the end, as we see here from the Sefer HaChinuch, from the Nesiv, everything we do should be the kavod, ul tifaras. Okay, we'll stop here. Amen.